something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Is Mr. Jones, like, his bird?
This is the last pod in this house, Bods.
And the rental rates at Long and McQuaid. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, remember we talked about Adam Duritz?
Yeah. And I'll never forget.
And how he's like, he's
a like noodle monster.
With everybody.
Yeah.
So
he's a noble like, birdsman.
We were talking about like, you know, he slept with so many notable celebrities.
Well, okay.
And I was like, well, yeah, it's a lot more than you'd think. And it's like, he's kind of never settled down. And so this song came on and that just was in my head. But if you look at the lyrics of this song, and it's called Mr. Jones, and Jones
I'm familiar.
Jones is, you know, and it, like what people call an addiction, right?
Yeah, he's jonesing.
So I'm assuming this is his horniness. Like he's hanging out with his libido, and that's what this song is all about. And it's about how he can try and figure out ways to get laid the whole time. And if you start reading the lyrics, it's the same vibes.
So are you suggesting it's possible that Mr. Jones is his bird?
Yeah. Well, it's just his sexual libido, yeah.
Okay.
Alright.
I'm on the hook. And you can reel me in now. I have the lyrics open in front of me.
Okay.
Let's go through it one at a time and you can kind of defend your thesis.
Okay.
I was down at the New Amsterdam, which I suspect is a bar, it's uppercased.
Yeah.
Staring at this yellow haired girl. First of all, we should preface it by saying we don't know that he's had intimate relations with all these women. We suspect he's been linked to or dated them. But we can't outright say that they closed the deal.
No, but like they had relationships.
It's a safe assumption, sure.
Yes, for sure.
So I was down in the New Amsterdam staring at this yellow-haired girl, okay? Mr. Jones strikes up a conversation with a black-haired flamenco dancer. So he's staring at a yellow-haired girl, and his bird is talking to a black-haired flamenco dancer. So there's a lot going on. You know, she dances while his father plays guitar. That's where it gets weird.
She's in, like, her dad's playing a gig somewhere.
Okay, but unless this is wrong, it says his father plays guitar. So it would be, in this case, the bird's father, which obviously doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm going to a second source because it must be her father
too.
Plays guitar.
Yeah, or either or. This is kind of not doesn't really matter in the big picture, these things.
I know, but I'm really into it. Can you please play the song? Because I want to hear whose father is playing guitar. I've never noticed that lyric before.
Okay. All right, let's take her back here.
Down at the New Amsterdam, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't mean anything. That might be the bird singing.
Yeah, she dances while his father plays guitar.
Okay. Okay, we know this.
Yeah.
What? That's so vulnerable, Adam.
Yeah.
So, his father is playing guitar.
Either or, it's the room is... They're partying.
They're partying, definitely. Yeah.
Clearly by Pass Me the Bottle.
Yep, sure.
And here comes the... this is the part where I guess he...
He wants to be beautiful. He wants to believe in things.
He wants to believe in things.
And here's his libido's like, I think it's on.
Yeah. Which means, right there, tell each other fairy tales, which it still could be him and Mr. Jones are the same person. To give him more personality.
Yeah, we stare at the beautiful women. She's looking at you, man. No, she's not.
They tell fairy tales, which is a great perspective, where it's like all the BS you could think up in your mind. Why? To get laid. So let's keep going. And we stare at the... She's looking at you. Nah, she's looking at me. Again, just to keep the idea that it's about, you know, trying to meet that girl.
I mean, it all tracks.
Because when everybody loves you, right here, you can never be lonely. Can't be lonely, because if by lonely, then he's got to be by himself again. And that's not what's going on here.
This entire verse seems like filler.
No, but if you knew Picasso,
I'd buy myself a great guitar and play.
Yeah, why would you do that to meet girls? It's the only reason why you'd be on just rocking out with Picasso. See, they're staring at women still.
Like, I really want to...
She's looking at you. I don't think so. She's looking at me. Again.
Again with the great guitar. Unless that is imagery. When everybody loves me, bird.
I won't be lonely. Because he wants to be a lion. And remember that part?
Well, no, I don't.
You get all that? Wants to pass his cats and all... Big stars, we want different... We all got different reasons for that. His is getting laid.
I want to be a lion.
Yeah.
Because
lions do a lot of pounding.
No, they don't. Do they?
They pound, eat, and sleep.
I know, but they sleep like 23 and a half hours a day.
Yeah.
Grab a bite. Get into things and go back to sleep.
But this is him. This is his concept of it. Because he wants to believe. But this is good, another good one here. Talking about the ladies again. Back at another place. Trying to pick up girls again. Okay, who says that? Other than a guy that's like kind of simplistic at a party.
I want to be Bob say Dylan, you
just
know?
Because they know that Bob Dylan, like every time you see Bob Dylan with a girl in the 60s, he's all over them.
Is he?
And he's always talking. Yeah, he was the horniest and always was like that. So he wants to be Bob Dylan because Bob Dylan had the ears of many ladies. And Mr. Jones... Which is, it was a little more funky, maybe dancing, like party vibes, right? And that's, again, another his personality on a different day, you know what I mean? To broaden his horizons.
I feel like this is the same.
Because when everybody loves you. Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of the same as Closing Time. How that's actually about his wife giving birth to the kid, and it doesn't really track, and I sort of get it, I want it to be true.
He wants to be famous in this... wants to look at TV and see himself and all that stuff. And everyone loves you.
Like, sort of. I'm almost buying it.
It's the first song that came out. They were on SNL like a couple months after it started. And I tell you what, he was doing a lot of road pounding.
Who, this dude? Adam?
As soon as this was like his concept of, I'm going to take it to the limit. I'm going to sleep with the biggest celebrities I can find. And bangle, bangle, bongle. He did it.
Yep. As everyone always says, bangle, bangle, bongle. It's interesting.
I'm just saying it's a take on. I think the guy was kind of horny based on the amount of relations you saw him having, and it makes sense. That's all.
It's fun to think about, and it brings new enjoyment to the song for me when you think about
It's fun to think about. That's the whole point.
It's
fun to think about.
I also think maybe because in my mind's eye it came out around the same time as All I Want to Do, the Sheryl Crow song. I'd always pictured that he and Mr. Jones were in this bar during the day. Did you picture that?
I think it's like him and Mr. Jones at a bunch of different bars and places.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a continual glance at that out there meeting women, socializing. How do I get this woman to look at me? How do I get this one to talk to me? Boy, I want to get laid. And hey, how do we get laid? Because just wondering if we could, you know, what if that girl's like so hot? And I just, what do I say to get her to let? Wait a second, check out this guitar. I know a couple chords. And get up on the stage here. Ding, 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 ding. Hey, do you want a vodka tonic?
Because I write stories for a living sometimes, I really want the math of the story to track. And
well, I'm saying you know those guys. They're out there. They're out there. You know they're out there.
Oh, yeah, they're out there.
I've met many musicians that are like, that's all they can think about. So it's just a fun little concept gaffe. I know
it is. I'm really into it. We're watching a TV show called Divorce Girl's Guide to Something. Don't even know how we stumbled upon it. But the first couple of seasons were really interesting as this kind of marriage dissolves and the acting's really good. And then in the last season or two, there are these big logic gaps. So, for example, a drunk guy gives a speech at a wedding that goes on for almost 2 full minutes. And in real life, someone would tackle the guy or take the mic away or say, come on, man, that's not cool. Hand me over the mic. That would never happen. And in the same episode, her ex-husband shows up at the wedding with a baby that isn't his to say, can you help me with the baby? That would never happen. Like, it's kind of lost plausibility. So in trying to do the math of Mr. Jones' dad.
Lifetime script styles.
Yeah. But I always thought Mr. Jones was a man of a certain age. And to now imagine, like, this, I am rocked by this news that his dad was playing guitar for the flamenco dancer. So how old is Mr. Jones? No. And then how old is his dad?
Well, I'm saying conceptually it's Mr. Jones is him, you know, portraying an older, wiser person.
Hmm. It's just a lot. It's a lot to accept.
Helps him get laid.
Yep. I get it.
Something was going on when he walked in the on the friend set to say hi. Something was there.
In the Billy Currington song, people are crazy.
There's something going on for him to be like hanging out on, to be like, yeah, they're together with all of them, the whole cast.
I want to do a brief dive into the Billy Currington song, People Are Crazy. Because it is like a lot of country songs, it's a narrative song. So here's the story, okay? This old man and me were at the bar and we're having us some beers and swapping I don't cares. Okay, got it. I want to highlight one lyric in particular that's like what? How did they even get away with that? So basically what happens is Billy Currington, the protagonist of the song People Are Crazy, meets this older gentleman at a bar. They have a couple drinks. They're swapping stories about all the hell they put women in their life through. The guy says he was in two wars. He's been married and divorced. Anyway, they get wasted. The old guy blows a couple darts, says these things will kill me yet. Then at last call, they say goodbye. They never see each other again. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
So you're with me so far, right? They met at a bar. They had a few drinks. They talked about war stories. And then it was like, good night. Now, here's the next verse. And I'm going to read it the way the lines are laid out. Ready? Then one sunny day, I saw the old man's face. Front page obituary. He was a millionaire, he. He left his fortune to some guy he barely knew. His kids were mad as hell. Huh. But me, I'm doing well. So it took a few listens to figure out.
Oh, no.
So it took a few listens to figure
that's
out.
That's a classic cliche.
The old guy passed away and he left the money to Billy Currington, not his kids. And he just met this guy once. So here's what happens at the end of the song. And I dropped by today.
That's not the end?
No, just listen.
The twist has a twist?
And I dropped by today to just say thanks and pray, and I left a six-pack right there on his grave.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he went to see him. Of course left some beer on the grave.
Sure.
But listen to this combo. Front page.
What I don't understand is he left him. Well, it's pretty funny. It's like it's a classic. Okay, we need to wrap this up in, like, 5 seconds, right? The last bit of the movie, one of those things.
Yeah.
But like, if a guy gives you all his money, wouldn't you know when he died? Like, instead of just like happening to read
wouldn't
it in
know.
The paper.
But the most
pretty greasy move.
The most bold rhyming scheme I've ever heard is front page obituary, he was a millionaire, he. And then another he at the start of the next line, he left his fortune to. Three he's in two lines. Oh, he was a millionaire, he left his fortune to.
Yeah. Well, in the song, it's probably makes sense because there's probably a big break in between each he.
Sort of.
He
was a millionaire, he.
Oh, man.
Throws away. And I said to Carol, like, what's a millionaire, he?
Oh,
lyrics, am I right?
That's interesting, because, you know, like, because I'm so unaware of that, like, modern country music, when it comes on, it's hard for me to hear the lyrics, which is interesting if you think about it.
Well, I was really surprised to just discover Mr. Jones is a song that I've heard a million times. So many of those lyrics, I was like, what? Yeah. Lion? I don't remember that part. I don't remember any of it.
Yeah. Well,
certain phrases like
I mean, I don't really
green and red and black and gray or whatever. I know that.
Well, that happens to me sometimes. Like, I'll hear a song from the 90s that I thought I hated. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Those aren't some bad words there. I thought that was worse. It's not too bad.
Who would you say you wrote off who's actually
because
not bad?
I just think that, like, when you're young and you're in a band trying to compete with other bands, there's a part of you that just doesn't like most music that you're listening to, in a sense. Like, it's somehow, you like certain things and certain music so much, but a lot of contemporary artists that you, like, don't really pay attention to, you don't really care about, and to be honest, like, you don't listen to it.
I get that.
Even though you hear it, even though you hear it all the time, it's like you're all of a sudden in a, you know, at No Frills with a shopping cart and music is on. It goes by, or you turn it away. So you become very familiar with it to the point where you actually know a lot of the lyrics in terms and sense. But like when you hear it after 10 years later and you give it, I think you give it some, it's almost like there's no reason to not dislike it as much when you're not out there trying at a position that you're trying to maintain. You know what I mean? Like when you're on the charts and you're trying to write hits and all that shit.
Well, I think that's maybe an age thing. your rough edges get sanded down. Like, I used to be far more critical and competitive about other people's shows or other people's careers or other people's comedy. And now I just think, hey, you made a thing. Good for you.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a little bit of both. You know what I mean? Age is for sure a part of it, definitely, because you don't care as much as that stuff.
Right.
And that, and when you're young, and I was super young, so I was really, like, I guess competitive in that nature, you know?
Well, I think that is some gas you need for the fires of accomplishing things. Speaking of baby Jared, this is a significant pod, like, for a big reason.
This is the last pod in this house.
Crazy.
I'm moving on Monday. And this is the last weekend here. Cut the grass for the last time. So it's starting to, you know, feel a little more, you're understanding the gravity of 21 years at a place. And so it's cool, but it's been great. The fact that we're doing so much at the new place. And when I go there, it feels that same home feeling is there. You know
great.
What I mean? So that's awesome. So I'm really excited to get there. The kids are all stoked. They can't wait. They've picked their rooms and they really like their rooms, you know, like they're like, well, mine's the best for this. And they're like, well, mine's the best for this. So it's great, man. We're stoked.
So and, how old were you when you bought this place? Like, and what was it like? Do you remember going to see it for the first time?
25. Yeah, 25. And I was, me and my girlfriend at the time were just kind of randomly looking for places on the water because I had a condo downtown at Richmond and Sherburn, and which I bought for $110,000.
Wow.
And it was a 1,100 square foot condo in 96 or something like that, right downtown. For that price, 110. It was basically $1,000 a square foot, like insanity.
Dang.
And I sold that place for 210 or something a couple years later, 5 years, to buy this place. You know, and this place was back then, it was on the water, and it was up, and it's in Oak Ridges. And it was, 200 and something grand, like just ridiculous.
Was it a cottage?
Yeah, it was a cottage at that time.
Like, people from the city went there on weekends? Like, that's so crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't as built up as it is now.
Yeah, I'll say it now because I would never say the name just in case, like, some crazy person, you know, wanted to come to Lake Wilcox and sock me in the eye for something. But, it's a beautiful place. And it at one point was a community where it was, cottages from the city. And then I guess in the 80s, and it got a little greasy. There was a lot of bikers here, so it got tough and kind of scared away the idea of a cottage community. And then as they were kind of beaten away, in a sense, moved off, it became, again, like in the late 90s and the 2000s, it started to get found out, I guess, by local neighborhoods. And at this point now, it's just become, the city is connected here. Like, it's North Richmond Hill now, and Aurora is just north, so it's all just one now.
But, so,
It's a good spot. It's a great place. The schools are great.
So when you looked at it, was it like Nan and Bumpy are selling their place and all the original furniture came with it, like that kind of thing?
Nan... The original place?
Yeah,
it was totally
like kind of musty.
It was a couple that had just divorced, and they had just done like a small addition on the original cottage, which was built in 1945. And we ended up keeping the addition that they did, just this two-story back, and knocking down the front and adding a whole two stories there. So, and because that was higher, it ended up being five levels. So that's why the house is interesting, but it's a skinny plot. It's only on 25 feet by 300 deep.
Right.
So we got a lot of space out of it, out of that design. But yeah, that was, I guess, almost 10 years ago now that we built it.
But that's the house that your kids came home from the hospital to, right? Like, that's been your house. Wild.
It has. They all grew up here, you know, so that's pretty cool. And the next place, well, you know, they're at a young enough age to appreciate it at the same level there, the next phase. And the fact that they've been here, and to be honest, the how long the transition has been perfect. Like, everybody has had kind of had a way to get through and I guess grieve the transition and think about the future. They've had a lot of chance to do it. But yeah, it's definitely emotional for sure. I think that Lisa has the biggest connection to it. Because I've been here maybe so long that it's been too long. It's the most I've ever been in one place in my life, to the point where I'm like, I'm welcoming somewhere else. Hmm. So she has a little more of a connection. So, yeah.
So do you have any specific, like, plans for, like, let's get takeout from here for the last time on the last night? Or is it just, like, you're luckily so busy with the transition that there's no time to kind of stand around and get in your head?
Yeah, there's no time, really. It's just been so much movement. Right now it's, like, trying to get as much stuff out of here so I don't get reamed so badly by the moving company, because of the costs of the movers has been extremely ridiculous. Like, I've had to move a few things because we bought, like, the cabinets Lisa bought and all this other stuff that's been kind of coming and going, like appliances or whatever. It's just moving companies. The costs have been crazy. So I don't want to, they quoted $4,000 for the move.
Whoa.
And I'm like, it's only 18 minutes from here. And they said 10 hours at $350 an hour. I'm like, it's not taking 10 hours. We're getting everything out of here. So we're trying to keep, so there's nothing really but big things. So it really shouldn't take more than a couple hours to get all this stuff in and out. Or out, I mean. And then in on the other end.
Man, I love when people do
10 hours.
What they said they were going to do. I had to find an appliance for the cottage, called around to a few places, like a few shoulder shruggers, then found this bud who was like, hey, let me do some digging. I'm going to send you an email. He sent me an email. The thing was available when he said it would be. It's just, you appreciate in a greedy market where everyone's just, taking people for as much as they can. You appreciate when you come across a bud who's like, hey, this is what I do. Let me help you with that.
Yeah. Well, mostly it's been people say a price and that's been perfect. It's fine. But I've just found that we've used movers enough that there's no like, hey, you got to call this guy. This guy will give you a deal. Because that's like, there's no deals in moving. It doesn't exist. Like, right. We even know people that have companies and there's still no deals because it's just so expensive to do it.
It's also just a hard job.
It is. It is.
Oh, for sure. Lifting a deep freeze into someone's basement in the summer, man. Bless their hearts.
No way, man. Yeah, and it's really like, it's a roll of the dice on the weather. I mean, it's been pretty good right now. I think it'll be all right, but it's been, you don't want it to be pouring rain when you're doing that either.
Heck no. So I did something last night that I've never done before.
What?
Indy's soccer game, the ref didn't show up. And so her coach was like, do any parents want a ref? And I was in flip flops and I was like, I don't see doing that. But he said, or I can ref if one of you guys wants to coach. I was like, well, that I can do. I'll get my Will Ferrell on. So it was really fun.
I thought you've coached before, didn't you?
I don't think I have. Have I?
Oh, okay. I thought you did. I don't know. I thought you did something. Maybe you just organized something.
Huh.
But yeah, it's fun to coach the kids because it's just motivation.
Have you done it?
All right. Yeah, it's great.
Here's what I like about it. They're such sponges for information. And if you just point out simple things in real time, you can see them implement those changes. Like I found when they were on the sidelines, because they almost like minor hockey, they switch it out every few minutes. I found those. Yeah, that's the best that's time it. To kind of whisper in a kid's ear, like, hey, so next time your goalie gets the ball, you can run up the field. You don't need to hover right around him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Our goalie put
all
on a clinic.
All your focus is, yeah, all your focus is just to try and get everybody to play a lot. That's all.
Yeah, and to spread out, too, because there's such a natural inclination to go where the ball is.
they just go right after it. They all
Timbit hockey styles, yeah. Who was it? One of your boys played really competitive soccer, right?
Jack, yeah. Well, they all three played, and Tony, their godfather, he's kind of what got them into soccer. He loves soccer and definitely helped motivate them into it. And Jack actually took to it to the point where he started playing the higher level soccer. And yeah, he was getting really good. And he just actually found out that it was just taking up a lot of his time and he wanted to do some other stuff. So that's Jack.
There you go.
Actually, that's what happens kind of with the competitive soccer. I mean, I think only one or maybe one of his friends out of all the guys that were on his team at one point, it was everybody. And eventually because it starts to become 4 days a week, and the older you get, the more days you're playing and the longer stuff gets. So it's a lot of dedication. So you start thinking at 13, 14, 15 in all sports, like this is the point where it's like, well, am I really going to give this a shot? Because if you are, then you have to really double down on everything. Or, you know, you're just going to chill and play house league or whatever.
Yeah.
But generally, the reason why they stop is because they want to have that spare time and to do other things.
And yeah, and it stops being fun.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If they're really good, then they think, well, you know what? Maybe this can give me a scholarship to something, which it absolutely can. So it's a good idea to keep doing it if you like it and you're pretty good at it, and it can take you places.
Yeah, it's also just a good way to, you know, practice working with a group, practice getting along with people you don't naturally gravitate towards, all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
There you go, bud.
What? So, yeah. You want to hear a song?
Yes, I do. Let's see how
from
fast
1990?
I can. Not very fast.
You'll know now.
I saw the sign, Ace of Base. So. Here's the challenge. Jeremy, what? Imagine you were a session drummer.
Yeah.
And the producer has to describe the kind of beat they want for a song like I Saw the Sign. How would you describe that beat? Like, just give me something blank.
Oh, it's really straight for one thing.
Yep.
Like let me listen to it again.
Yeah. It's literally boots and caps.
Well, it's interesting that hold on a sec. There's a little change in it that makes it a little different. Interesting.
What's interesting?
Well, it's like it's a full 8-bar pattern. It's like repeats long, which is weird. It goes like dunts, da dun dunts, da dun dunts, da dun, and then it only does it half that the next time. So it's just weird that it's so long. I'm like, and what is that really necessary to be that different in the first 4 bars? Boom, 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 boom. Like that's not necessary, I don't think. Boom. See, they don't do it again there. But they do it here at the boom, boom, boom. I'm like, that's just like, it just sounds kind of busy. But then if you hear the riff, it might make sense.
Is it electric drums?
Oh, no, because it changes again. You know what it is? It's just some shitty 90s electric beat guy. That's all it is. That's just shit. That's terrible.
I kind of like it, though.
Because it changes and then it's like ding da-ga, ding ding da-ga, like fuck off. If you're changing the beat that much in the first 23 seconds, I'm out.
What do you mean
I'm gone?
What do you mean you're out? You're changing the channel or you're quitting the session?
Well, it means you're just fucking around. You don't know what you're doing because you only have so much time to set a feel. And if you're just changing it up right away, why are you doing it for one thing? If it's like, are you bored? Then that's bullshit. Because you're supposed to keep it the same and or build upon a feel. Like, it's just, you don't hear that.
Although without it.
The beat. No, I'm saying it's just kind of, it is whatever salad, the drums right there. Absolute what, it's because it's not bad, but it's like they're changing. So it's not memorable. You know what I mean? Like, you think of We Will Rock You when boom, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, boom, ba, boom, boom, ba. You know what? Like, what the fuck are you doing, man? What's going on? It's fucking boom, boom, ba, boom, boom, ba, boom, boom, ba. You don't fucking change it, man. If it's like, if you're trying to make a point and you start it, What's going on? This guy's all over the place.
Right. Forget so it. It's a sign of insecurity because he's not secure chop. In his beat to just let it ride as is.
Well, it's probably someone who's like, not a drummer and thinks they can do drums.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm not a great drummer because I can't just settle into a beat. I have to try fills and stuff where they don't need them.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of confidence to just let it ride.
Yeah.
It's like if you can do a run as a vocalist, you don't do a run every line. That gets boring.
Let's see what happens here on this jam. Like, the drums are crazy in this, but they don't mess. They stick with it.
Four, three, two, one. Oh, I blew it.
There's a big intro without the beat. It's a big intro, bots.
Here we go.
Here it comes. It's literally kick and hi-hat on the one.
How would you describe that beat?
Wicked. Great.
No, I know, but straight. If someone came in stay to play a session, way. Yeah, okay, just keep it straight, stay out of the way.
Yeah, stay out of the way. And they're like, that's the ultimate stay out of the way. There's like some additional things they'll throw in there, but it's always around the vocal. See?
Dirty.
See how that went right around inside this vocal there? There was a little hole, so it went chugga 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 chugga. Like, those are going only with the rhythm of the backups or with the rhythm of the vocal.
Bugga, bugga, bugga.
Which is like, it's just hooky. So, yeah. That was, that's good stuff right there.
I'm into it.
What's
next? What finish this sentence. It's not normally my taste in music, but that is a great jam.
Yeah, like, here's a great concept of great. This beat does not change once it starts. Classic stuff. That's, again, it's like an old R&B sample.
I know, but what does change time is the rap, right? So is that why you can't have two things changing times? Like, if the beat was changing and Snoop was changing, it's too much.
Well, you question it's the lyric and it's right at the forefront. So why would something underneath that all of a sudden try to compete with that? It's pointless. It's confusing for the listener, and it just starts to, why would you do it? Someone would do it, well, because it's different. No, you might think it's different, but that's more of a mistake than different, because it's not done all the time, and it's different because it's pointless, because you're creating, unless it goes with it all. Like, you can play something complicated and something completely different, but if it's like, does, like, for example, like the Talking Heads always did that. They would play everybody doing a different rhythm.
Crazy.
But it was like, that's, but it the whole point is, like, you take a space, but you're taking that space because it's creating one bigger thing. Like, here's a good example. Like, everybody's playing different parts. Even the drum beat pokes a hole in a spot. Boom. Boom. Actually, this one's a good, it's the older, it's a more simple version of what that is. Like, the bass is so simple in Psycho Killer. And they get the kick. But then when the guitar and all the rest comes in, they work against each other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're so good at that. Another good one is Burning Down the House. Start, like, the rhythm of it is kind of the guitar part. And the drums are all over the place on top. Again, the guitar poking holes with another rhythm.
Gotta let it. It's almost like the guitar's playing the horn part.
Or the percussion part, kind of. Jagat, jagat. Or the This one pokes good ones. Anyway, can't go wrong with Talking Heads. It's good stuff.
What's your take on David Byrne?
I think he's very creative, and but at the same time, probably not the nicest guy to get along with.
Oh, really?
Because like, with that band, you had a lot of creative people and together, and the four of them were all very on top of their game. And I guess for some reason, because he was singing, he thought he was more important in a sense, and like, just started taking control and maintaining that. And I think it got to the point where, like, he would only write with them if he would, like, he got credit only for the singles. And so, like, you know, when you're a band and it's just like, I write the singles and I, you know, you guys do whatever else, it's just, that's not a great way to be doing it when you can start it in a different way. You know what I mean? When you're writing everything together and then all of a sudden one guy thinks he can do it all.
Gets ugly.
And you can see it most in their Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Awards exception speech. Like, they do it separately, and it's like the most awkward thing ever.
They do it separately?
Well, he's like there in the background when the three of them are talking, and then he comes and talks. It's just like, you know, that's how it gets sometimes. I'm sure, you know, like, I'm not in OLP, so I probably wouldn't be talking right beside Rain as, like, you know, some prepared thing we talked about together. You know what I mean?
I guess it depends on the individual.
But that, like, one is classic.
Like, it's worth a watch?
It's worth a watch for sure, definitely. But there's some crazy acceptance speeches. I don't know why people, like, the worst one is that Mike Love from the Beach Boys. He's really off his rocker.
Oh boy.
Yeah, he's crazy, man.
He's crazy.
Anyway.
So why is he drug induced crazy?
No, he's just like a right-wing nut job, like he's and like just not cool whatsoever, and was always a just like D-bag. So he's one of those kind of guys.
Like playing at Trump's inauguration styles?
For sure, definitely. Like, has probably had a MAGA hat on since they started making them to this day.
Isn't it a treat? Like, how little do you say the word Trump in your life now? Like, for something that was on the cover of every newspaper and lead story and everything, it takes not having it in your life to realize how much it was a part of our lives. Like, the four-year what's going to happen today.
He certainly lingers. He lingers like a fart. You know, because he's not going away, really. If you still smell hard enough, it's still there. And they... Like, he's still the face of the GOP at this point, so.
I know. Who knows
what's going on.
Is he going to run again?
So far, it seems that, if it's not him, it's that pedophile Matt Gaetz or that psychopath, whatever, the crazy blonde lady. Like, those are all, they're all insane. I wouldn't want to go anywhere around with any of those creeps.
There's a Nova Scotia election going on right now, and my friend Shauna is running, and I, as friends should, showed up for her and spent a couple hours with her Saturday, like putting up some signs and stuff. It's such a thankless task running, especially if you don't expect to win. And we had a conversation about her expectations and, you know, she doesn't see her chances as being good. And I was like, is that to kind of manage your own expectations or kind of protect yourself? And she's like, no, it's kind of realistic. There's an incumbent who's quite popular, and I don't see him losing that much of the vote in a really short time. But it's pretty noble to throw your hat in the ring just because, you know, asking timely questions with a megaphone helps move the needle a little bit, right?
Yeah, well, you have to start somewhere, right? And it's interesting because I always find the one that, you know, generally the people that I agree with most get the least amount of votes, which makes me sick, you know?
Right. Well, I know her firsthand to be like, lucid and level-headed and really razor sharp and makes excellent decisions and often solves problems before anyone else even hears about them. Like, here's a person who would be phenomenal in that job. I don't think her party's going to win. You know what I mean? But there should be more people like her in politics for sure. It's just interesting to be out there because you realize what a landmine it is and how, just by standing beside that sign, someone can be like, yeah, but remember when so-and-so was premier in Alberta 7 years ago and what they did? Like,
no,
what?
Man, I can't handle it. No, I'm sick and tired of that. Like, what, this guy's a complete idiot. You don't know this, then this person did this 8 years ago. I mean, the NDP have never had a chance, and Bob Rae kind of ruined their chances in Ontario. By, you know, doing things that weren't NDP-like at all. So I think that Jack Layton was a big part, and I think Jugmeet is a very intelligent and probably just as in terms of what he knows and his pedigree and understanding would fit in perfectly as and I think, I don't know, I at this point people seem to fire so much flames about liberals and Justin Trudeau and the dumpster fire that the PCs are. I don't understand why people don't see it as like, well, let's give these guys a chance for real. Like, what's up with that? Why is it always like laughed about when people talk about the NDP? I just don't understand.
Yes. The you know, kind of headline argument that I have seen the most is great policies, not practical, no way to pay for it. But man,
I know, but that's like such a small-minded thing to say. Like, that's what you say. That's what you hear when you go to a major network with a great idea, right? Yeah, it's such a cool idea. I just don't see how to get it done by technical reasons that don't have anything to do with creativity.
Yeah.
You know? Just really maddening.
I wonder if all things considered, like, first of all, whoever inherits power in our country and in each province is inheriting a bit of a dumpster fire, because the financial ripples from the last couple of years are going to be a big challenge. Like, I was thinking about that because driven to PEI quite a bit in the last couple of months, and at the New Brunswick border, there are 10 huts with heat pumps in them and people in them and a couple of police cars there, and they're asking people, you know, COVID questions on the way through, like, just kind of the border is shored up. Where's that money come from? Imagine, like, all these extra costs that have to come from a miscellaneous column that we'll be paying for in ways we didn't even imagine for years to come. Yeah. Like, what a mess. But I wonder if all things considered, someone like Justin Trudeau is like, yeah, no, you know what? That was worth it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. But you know what? I think about, like, the amount of money that's spent in Ottawa just, like, restoring and new stuff and blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And the amount of money and the amenities that are given to people that work in government and the cost of that. You know, all those things are way more than generators and people working out there. And that's the biggest issue, is like starting to be more transparent about how money comes and goes in this country and how stuff is actually filtered towards the betterment, as opposed to how much it costs to run a government and certain energy sectors and all these things that where people are making money hand over fist. You know, it's just there needs to be something done more on the idea of just policies and economic breakdowns, as opposed to like parties and campaigns and all that stuff.
I've seen Jagmeet a couple of times in public, like at Pearson, I think twice, passing him kind of on the standing escalator going the opposite way. Makes eye contact, genuine smile. Like, I think he's a bud. And I remember someone asking him recently about the cost of drinking water in the north. Did you see that clip? He was like, I'm going to stop you right there. Absolutely. This was Toronto or Vancouver. You wouldn't even be asking the question, which is really true. But it's not a job for me, bud. Yeah. And I'm guessing not for you either.
No. No, it isn't. It isn't.
Especially because people are
a job for me.
What?
Packing boxes like nobody's business.
Good chatting, bud. All right, we're going to steal back 5 minutes from this week's pod so you can pack two more boxes.
I'm right now.
I was going to say, don't forget under the bathroom sink. Because every time you're like, there, I'm done. Then you find under the bathroom sink is like, oh, Q-tips and bite spray and sunscreen, and there's always a sneaky amount of stuff under the bathroom sink.
Yeah, I think right now it's like the cold storage is so full, I'm going to dive into that.
What's in the cold storage?
It's more of like our cold storage here is more of we used it for just storage period. So there's like drum stuff. There's hockey equipment. There's like baseball memorabilia.
Well, like the open and
there's
chuck.
All kinds of stuff in there. Yeah, it's there's all kinds of stuff in
hey,
there.
Hey, don't go throwing out any drums. I'll take them.
No. This is I got a great new spot in the house. I got a little. I'm gonna build a drum room, music room.
Like keep your kit set up all That'd the time. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Mouse
for sure. So when you come over, we can jam.
Yes, that sounds fun.
We can record some new bangers.
Yes, we should. Yeah. Our next record should be called Bangers with a Z. Straight bangers.
Bangers and MASH, but it's like MASH is spelt like the TV show.
Yeah.
Because we're like old and we watch TV after we've jammed.
And the S in the MASH is a dollar sign.
It's us watching MASH hanging out.
Bangers and MASH.
With the gear in the back. The gear in the background. It's like the two-piece.
I can actually kind of see it. It's awesome.
It is. I like it. I like it a lot, actually. I did watch MASH growing up, but I haven't caught up on MASH. Did you watch MASH growing
up? Heck yeah. I started taking saxophone in grade 8 just to learn Suicide is Painless. That's a banger. Gork. Practicing in my room for hours.
We're gonna jam that for sure. We should put it in the live set. There could be the jazz version. Do you remember how to play it? Can you still play sax at all?
I could probably pull it together pretty quick. Except, didn't I tell
Holy
you?
Shit, you've got it.
I had to buy a sax.
You gotta bring the sax out.
I had to buy a sax as a prop for something I was shooting. So I met a guy in. I found it on Kijiji, met a guy in the bank parking lot, and I was like, how long have you been playing? And he was like, playing what? Like, okay, this transaction already feels shady. He obviously didn't play it. He just came into possession of it somehow. Oh, greasy.
What?
So then...
you see, oh my god, and the news, bludgeon sax player at local jazz bar found in alley.
Yeah, how long have you been playing, man? Playing what? Okay. Anyway, I donated it to the high school music program, but I'll get my hands on another greasy sax, and we can play the MASH theme for sure.
We can go to Long McQuaid and rent one for $8 for like three weeks.
So you have your mouth on someone else's reed.
No, I was just saying how awesome, like how cheap it is to rent stuff at Long McQuaid.
$8 for 3 weeks.
I rented the guitar for that session we did. And I forgot to bring it back for like 3 weeks, and I was like worried it was gonna be like $300-$400. And the guy's like, "Yeah, that'll be $11."
And if you rent it at Long and McQuaid in Sudbury, you can return it in Winnipeg, right?
Yeah, you can take. Yeah, that's the even better part. I remember we did a show and I'm like, oh no, I forgot these hi-hats like, in my bag from Victoria. I dropped them off right down the street.
They don't even care.
They don't care.
Yeah, I rented these tin whistles in the Paw, Manitoba. No problem. You can return them here.
The best is you and I are like, oh no, there's no PA at this show. We went to Long McQuaid and got a whole PA for the whole place. It was like $200.
And there's a guy with a skinny leather tie. Yeah, man, no problem. Can I help load that in your car? Yes. And you know those guys can just shred, too.
Like a $7,000 PA system and all the stands and everything.
And they all say, no worries. Hey, can you throw in some hi-hats? No worries.
Yeah, no problem. Can I get a couple drum sets and an organ? Yeah, yeah, don't worry about it.
Aww.
Anyway, good chatting, but we made it. Got to an hour
good
here.
Good chatting, bud.
I gotta get going.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye. Bye.